Anybody love Jesus in this room? Come on. I want to spend a little bit of time. I think the last time I got to share, I shared about what I felt like was called the ascended life. And what's been really fun is the last couple of weeks, we've sort of like unearthed some really amazing resources. In fact, there's actually two books by a guy that we are aware of in this house called The Ascended Life. I'm like, come on, that's so awesome. And so I've had a chance to sort of get in there and dig around a little bit. And I just really feel like the Lord is sort of breathing on this particular subject. So my commitment is I've just started to lay some of this stuff out. If you see me pausing, it's because I could go a million different directions and I'm gathering my thoughts. And I've just sort of been immersed in this reality. But this will be a power group at some point in time. And really, it's about experimentation, right? We have to be able to experiment, and we have to be able to have time. And so I really want to make, you know, Sundays, we can sort of scratch the surface, and I'll try to do that this morning. But also, this is just you saying, listen, I think this is possible. This is what I've learned from this age. I know it's in there. And so, Holy Spirit, help me to open it up and experience what you have for me. And I want more. And it's okay for you to just say, I just want more. There's just stuff that, like, for example, why do we close our eyes when we pray? Anybody ever stop and think about that? Who told you that you had to close your eyes when you pray? There are little things that we've picked up along the way, whether someone verbalized that or whether we just learned by observation, doesn't matter which, that we do, that has happened, that you're like, this is what we do. And I really feel like this is one of these areas that the Lord really wants to upgrade. Upgrades are good. Promotions are good, right? When God is doing something in your life, it's really good. So this morning, I'm going to try to spend about this much time just recapping, because I'd like to refresh us sort of where I left off. And then also, if you weren't here a couple weeks ago when I spoke, it'll sort of get you up to speed. But I had an opportunity to share a couple weeks ago on Ephesians 4, 7 through 16. Oh, I left my Bible. I should grab that. I'm going to read this. Let me just read this to you real quick, because this is really good news. So Ephesians 4, verse 7, starting verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men, women, mankind. In saying he ascended, what does it mean that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he may fill all things. And he gave the apostles and the prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Come on, that's just good news. The two things that the Apostle Paul is highlighting in this thing, if we could go, can we jump to my fourth slide? I had this picture last week. I'm sorry I didn't have this picture for you the last week, and I don't know how well we'll see it up here. Can you guys see that okay? Okay. So I have a couple of the passages up there. Ephesians 4, I just read that one, and then John 3, 1 through 13. And this is this idea that I feel like, so I explained this last week, and let me just jump into this really quick too. So in John chapter 3, Jesus has this amazing interaction with this Pharisee named Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus is, he's not just a Pharisee, he's one of the leaders, right? He's one of the main leaders of the Pharisees. And so he comes to Jesus by night, and he wants the rabbi to teach him. He wants to know the stuff, okay? But he doesn't want anybody else to know, so he shows up at night. And Jesus starts off by saying, listen, if you want to be in the kingdom, you've got to be born again. And Nicodemus, again, I'd love to have been a fly on the wall watching this situation. I don't know if he scratched his head or just had this look, but Nicodemus is trying to figure out how an old man is supposed to be born again. Is he supposed to go into the womb again? Or like, what are we talking about here, Jesus? And Jesus responds back to him. And basically, I love this because this communicates the heart of God so well. He says, look, if I'm trying to communicate a spiritual truth that has an earthly parallel and you don't get it, how am I supposed to give you a spiritual truth that has no earthly parallel and you understand? I thought you were a Pharisee. I thought you got this stuff. Yikes. That's a burn. If you didn't pick up on that, that was a burn. Okay? Jesus got him pretty good. But what Jesus is communicating is the heart of God is that he wants to be able to reveal the Father in ways that we have no earthly parallel for. That means God wants to tell you his secrets. Why? Because they're important. Because you're important. They're yours. Another verse says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, and the glory of kings to search it out. That means it's just hidden enough to where you have to look for it, but maybe not so good that you can't find it. Anybody ever do an Easter egg hunt and as a kid, or watch a kid do an Easter egg hunt and they're bright and they just keep finding them and their face lights up every time they find one? Come on, you guys have seen that before. That's the Lord. He's really awful at hiding things, but he's great at hiding it at a place where you have to go and search it out. There's something about that that's necessary. It's relationship, okay? Okay, so the two things that Paul talks about in Ephesians 4 and then John 3:1, which I'm about to reference for John, is Jesus makes this statement. And this is what I think Paul is actually spending the letter to the Ephesians trying to describe and give language to, okay? But what he says, Jesus says, and at the point of talking to Nicodemus, he's not ascended and gone to heaven, right? He's still on earth. None of that has happened yet. Jesus hasn't been resurrected. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, he's the only one that's been ascending to heaven. And in some translations, it even says, he's in heaven now. What? Whoa, sorry. What? What does that mean? You're in heaven now? Please explain, Jesus. Now, we don't have a ton of clarification as to what he means, but the Apostle Paul is just trying to describe in the book of Ephesians what this lifestyle of ascending is actually like. Ephesians 2 talks about we are seated with him in heavenly places. Again, because sometimes this is a complicated teaching, it's easier for us to think, I'll just figure it out when we get to heaven. AKA, that's a heaven thing, not an earth thing. Nope. Actually, it's yours now. Okay? And so, and if we needed a little bit more proof that it's ours now and the Lord expects us to do something with it, we have a very sobering word to the Ephesians from the Apostle John in Revelation. So in chapter 2 of Revelation, Jesus is writing to the Ephesians and he says to them, listen, you've turned from your first love. What were the ramifications of that? That he would take away, their, the lampstand. Thank you. That he would take away their lampstand. That's pretty substantial. I'm going to take this away from you. Why? Because you didn't use it. Excuse me? So there's an expectation from the Lord that we don't depart from, that we use, that we put into practice this relationship with him, this first love encounter with Jesus. And it isn't just something that we get to experience when we get to heaven. God wants us to do something with it now. Sorry, let me rephrase that. We get to do something with that now. And it's really good news. So the two things that Paul talks about, I've said this twice now, but it's really important, is ascending and descending. That we have the ability and relationship to ascend. This is semantics, but it's okay. If I were to draw a map of where heaven is, it wouldn't look like a map that you opened up. Some of you like your old tactile, real big maps, right? When you go on road trips. God bless you. That's awesome. Some of us like to carry it in our little phones, right? And we can pull up any map we want to without having to have the right city for it or whatever, okay? So, but if I drew you a picture of where heaven is, it wouldn't look like a map. It isn't a geographic location. It's real. It's absolutely real. But there isn't a way to get to it. When we say ascending, I realize it sounds as if what I'm trying to say is that we go that way and we get to heaven. Heaven could be, maybe a better picture of what heaven is this. What does that mean? It means heaven is here now. Here's the thing. If we think that heaven is located somewhere north, we'll call it, okay? If we think that heaven is somewhere north, that means that if we want something that's in heaven, we have to call it down. If heaven is with us now, that means we have access to it now. Not if we pray the right prayer, or if we say the right thing, or if we obey the right way, or if we touch our nose and put one foot in the air and it's just the right thing at the right time and the Holy Spirit moves. Man, heaven is here. So I want to encourage you, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, when you have a quiet time, I'm about ready to say some stuff. Okay, when you have a quiet time with the Lord, and you're reading the Bible, or you're listening to music, or whatever that looks like, I would like to propose to you that you're not actually located just on earth while you're doing that. Your spirit, because you're created in his image, is not just to be located physically in your body here. Your spirit is not bound by time or space. It is not bound by time or space. Neither is God bound by time or by space. So when you commune with the Lord, you are communicating with him outside of time and space, which means that it should have an impact on your mind, your body, your will, your emotions. This is the invitation of a lifetime. This is why we are born. This is the fellowship that God had in mind for us from the very beginning. And this was what Jesus died for. Not just to give us a ticket so we could go to heaven. Praise God that the blood of Jesus gives us access to our salvation. But we have access to the throne as well. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Okay, so now we're caught up. That's sort of what I talked about a couple weeks ago. How many of you have a computer? Raise your hand if you own a computer. Raise your hand. I just want to see. Most of us own a computer. Okay, cool. Now, question for you. I may have actually used this example up here, but it's still a good one, so I'll do it again. How many of you know how to run every program on that computer? Raise your hand. Computers are pretty cool. They do some crazy stuff. Now, listen. You own your computer, yes? Right. Yes? Okay, all right, just making sure. Nods are good. If you own your computer, what does that mean? It means you have access to all of those files at any time. Yes? You're like, yeah, but I have a virus. Well, your computer needs Jesus. If you have a computer and you have access to all of its files, that may be a good example of what it's like when Jesus died for you. There are a bunch of things that are encapsulated, that are part of what Jesus did for you, that you have access to today, even though you're not quite sure what to do with them right now. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, the reason why I bring that up is because I'm going to talk to you about some things that may... We're just pulling stuff apart. We're in a science lab together this morning, and we're just going to pull stuff out, and we're going to take a look at it, okay? And I may challenge a little bit what sort of maybe some things that you're comfortable with or used to as far as what you think about God, but this morning is time for an upgrade, right? When we have a worship set like we had this morning where we're worshiping and we encounter the Lord in that way, we should actually spend time talking about it, right? We should say, what did the Lord do to my heart? Because I know it's impossible for me to be in his presence and for nothing to happen. That just doesn't happen. What did the Lord do to my heart? Let's unpack this stuff. You know, you could go to lunch with people after service and just start having conversations about what is the Lord up to? What's he doing? And you know what? The cool thing is another person in the same room who was singing the same song or in the same place at a similar time had a very different experience with the Lord. And as you begin to talk about it, you start getting different aspects. It'd be like if I held a diamond out for you and I said, hey, Paul, would you describe this diamond and what it looks like? Could you tell me what color the light when it's cast on this diamond, what color it is to you? And he may say pink. Or he may say, it's blue. It's the most beautiful color of blue. But then I say, hey, Tony, you describe in your own language, when you see the light enter this diamond, what color is it? And she goes, oh my gosh, it's orange. I've never seen a color of orange like that before in my life. And that's just how revelation works. And in Ephesians chapter 4, we get the ascending and descending, and we also get grace gifts. And grace gifts are like sort of like, I'm not saying they are, but I'm saying they're sort of like personality types. Meaning that if I were to ask an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, shepherd, or teacher to describe something to me, they might have a sort of a different opinion about what that is, right? And that's the beauty of Jesus, is that his fullness, it isn't just singular. It's not one-dimensional. It's multidimensional or omnidimensional or whatever cool word and dimensional is, right? Godly dimensional, heavenly dimensional. I don't know, man. So ascending and descending, grace gifts, we have these two things. Now listen, our ascending and descending should lead us to the knowledge of the Son. I said this last week. This is wild. So Paul, as he's writing this letter, answers a question that we may not be asking. He says, these things, meaning ascending and descending and grace gifts, they are going to be in effect until when? Until we come into the full knowledge of the Son and the unity of faith. The future is bright. So the knowledge of the Son, I said this last week, I love this. It isn't information. Knowledge isn't information. You can be informed by it, sure. Knowledge isn't information, though. It's experiential. So in Scripture, when the word knowledge is used, it's not just for information. Actually, most of the time, it's about encounter. A good example for us that we would understand from our culture is marriage. It's not enough for me to look at my wife, Tiffany, and tell her that I love her. There's experiential knowledge that the Lord has created for me to have with her. Intimacy, conversation and relationship, proximity, a closeness. There's a bunch of different things that are part of that. So when we talk about the knowledge of the Son, we're actually talking about really knowing him. Sorry, can I put it this way? What we're talking about is every believer knowing in your knower how close the presence of God is to you every moment. How about a song that I heard one time? It says that Jesus is closer than our skin. This is what the Lord wants for you. When we talk about first love and we talk about growing in the knowledge of the Son, this is what we're talking about. Knowing that Jesus is closer than your skin. This is the thing he was talking to the Ephesians about in Revelation 2. Saying, remember your first love. That's what he's talking about. Unity of faith. Unity of faith comes from grace gifts working. I believe the Ephesians were amazing at this part. In fact, if we look at Revelation chapter 2, we see an encouragement from the Lord that they're actually doing some really good things. And I think it's the activity of the grace gifts, or you could put it this way, the government of the church, the structure, the government of the church. They're doing really well in that. Okay. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate that. Have you ever heard a message that sort of like turns your brain? You're like, yeah, I know what he's going to say, and then, or I know what they're going to say, and then they just take a left at Albuquerque and you're in the dust, right? You're like, yeah, I had no idea he was going there. Yeah, or how about this? Anybody ever started a new job or tried to take on a new hobby and you tried to do it, but you just can't master it? You just can't get it? Come on, all math class was like that for me. Algebra? Right? Seriously, numbers and letters mixed together? Did you guys not go to elementary school? Totally different. Come on. Just kidding.
I had this experience. I got to share this. So I was in college. That would have been like 20 years ago at the U of I. And so I was at college, and I was, gosh, I was really hungry for the Lord. Like, I really, really wanted to encounter him. And he'd done some amazing things in my life. I had just got healed. My ribs had just got healed. I split my ribs twice. And so I saw God supernaturally come and, like, mess with my body, which was super cool. And so I was really going after the Lord, and he delivered me. I wanted to commit suicide. Things were just really hard, and I was making some decisions that were not good for me. And so the Lord had done some really substantial things in my life. And so I was really going after the Lord. And so I was reading John 4, and Jesus is talking about how he wants worshipers, he wants followers that will worship him in spirit and in truth. You guys know that passage? You heard that one before? Worship in spirit and truth. And I was trying my hardest, like, to, like, think my way into that, you know? Like, I was like, yes, in spirit and truth. I have no idea what that means. In spirit and in truth, you know, like, touch the Bible when I say in truth. You know, like I didn't know what to do. I was just literally trying to, like, this is, yes, I checked the boxes. Like, come on, Lord, you know? And the cool thing is that the Lord sees our heart. Who's thankful that Jesus sees our heart? Sometimes we do stuff and you look back and you're like, come on, bro. Come on, seriously? But he sees our heart, you guys. So that means we can do the wrong thing with the right heart, and the Lord actually looks at the thing in our heart and goes, oh, it's so pleasing to me. Oh my gosh, it's so pleasing to me. Now, I don't know how long this went on. Maybe a week or two, and I'm praying, and I'm, like, journaling. I'm, like, all my journals are, like, you know, writing about truth and, you know, what it is to be in the spirit, and, you know, like, I'm doing word studies and stuff like that. And one morning, I remember the Lord speaking really clearly to my heart. And he was like, would you stop? It's already done. It's past tense. When Jesus died for you and you said yes, it was already true about you that you were in spirit and truth. It's already an accurate description of who you are, Josh. And I was like, revelation. It was so good. I was really thankful for that. So if for some of you, when we talk about the ascended life and going to heaven now, and I'm messing with your theology, it's okay. Even if you're a little unsure about some of the things that are coming out of my mouth. I had some good conversations after last sermon. But I bring this up because the Lord will see our heart first and foremost. This is good theology, so I'm not worried about it. I'm happy to have a conversation with you about it. And we can grow in our experience and in our knowledge of Jesus, because he wants us to grow into the fullness of Jesus. Okay. Great companion study to what we're doing here. I'm about to just share some cool stuff and then tell you can go watch a person who's way more qualified to share about it. You want to share the next slide? Up in the top corner, I don't know if you can see it, it says Dr. Carolyn Leaf has an incredible message that she shares about worship and the brain and their connection together and what happens. And what was really fun is that she's a super fast talker, so I need to go back and, like, put her in, like, 3/4 speed, you know, and just really soak it in and take notes. But she's got tons and tons and tons of material. She's really gone into this. So she's 30 years into her studies on the mind and about the effect of the truth on the mind and about
some of the things that happened, which I'm going to hit some highlights of what she talks about, but I highly encourage you to go check out that message. If you go to YouTube and you type in Worship and the Brain, Dr. Carolyn Leaf, it'll come up and you can check it out. It's about 45 minutes long or so. So I just want to highlight for you, and I think is great for us on this particular topic, because worship has a deep and profound effect on our body, on our soul, and in our spirit. This is the one thing I want to share. So I'm so sorry. I don't know if you can read all of that, but the first box there says love and fear. It says the human mind is hardwired for love first, and I wrote and fear. I should have made a little clarification there. And so fear is learning to think incorrectly. So here's the thing. Human beings, from the very youngest age, what science is actually discovering is that we are hardwired for love. There are, you guys, there are volumes of books and studies from scientists that they are beginning to make these connections. This is an explosive time in the research and study of the human mind right now that we're in. Once we started moving into the information age that we're in right now, the acceleration that we're beginning to experience around this particular subject, tons of others, but around this one specifically, is pretty mind-blowing. But what they're discovering is that human beings are actually hardwired for love. What they can actually do, now this is so much more than I would ever think. Like I would never have the thought, I would like to get the brain material of a cadaver and to slice it in really thin pieces and put it under a microscope. I would never have that thought. However, I am very thankful that the information I get that stems from work like that. So they take very thin slices of the human brain and they put it under a microscope. And what they found as they zoom in is they begin to see what looks like trees. Now, these trees, they've been able to identify are love and fear. Isn't that interesting? Let me read this little thing to you real quick because I think this helps just a little. It helped me. Thoughts, our actual thoughts, occupy mental real estate in our brain. Let me read that to you one more time. Thoughts occupy mental real estate in our brain. Not a concept, observable under a microscope. Isn't that crazy? Our thought life is very important. Our ability to ascend and encounter the one who's holy is very important. How about this? What's confession and repentance? Changing the way you think. Taking thoughts that are fear or thoughts that you've learned to think about in an incorrect way and de-rooting those things and pulling them out. What does worship do to the human brain? What's interesting is there's all these like little networks of these trees that are like they've grown together and it's like they've got root systems. So what happens when you start getting thoughts that start building up, either positive or negative, right? Either love or fear, they begin to actually build these neurological networks around them. Just like a city is starting to build out and it starts to fortify and the resource starts to go there and energy starts to go there, they're starting to recognize that this is actually what's happening in the brain. So now maybe you can see that ascending and descending are actually vital to your relationship, to your health. Here's another thing.
So what they're finding is, so these little neurological networks, when they start to really build up, it's a bunch of thoughts and they start to fortify, they've found out that that can have an effect on your health. Swelling in your body. Cancer growth. It's creating an environment. It's environmental in nature, begins to create an ecosystem within your heart. Now you can understand why ascending and descending is so important for you. To deroot things that don't belong there. And for you, knowing that you are wired for love. Man, if you need to cut the news out of your life, do it. Listen, I'm not telling you that you shouldn't know what's going on in the world. What I'm saying to you is, you need to have an understanding that those things, they come with stuff. They have friends. And when we're in the presence of that kind of stuff, it creates an atmosphere. So, some things that they found. I'm just going to throw this out. I'm going to try to move along quickly here because I'm starting to get close to where I need to be. So, let's just say, for an example, that you had cancer. Now, I don't know how in this example you got cancer. I don't know whether it was hereditary or I don't know if it was a series of, you know, like years of bad choice. It doesn't matter. What does matter is if this person will begin to change, there's transformational things. You may have even seen this before, or witnessed this before in people that you've done life with. They get a diagnosis of having cancer, and one way or the other, it'll send you places. Getting news like that will send you places, right? And being at the healing rooms, I see both, but I'm particularly amazed and have less fear than I ever have in my entire life about things that could cause my body damage and ultimately lead to death, is that I've seen what the Lord does with people who hold on to his promise. And how it creates an ecosystem of truth, which creates an environment of love, which begins to actually have a profound effect on not only a temperament, not only what you think, but on your actual physical health. Ascending and descending is really important. Okay, I'm going to read this because I almost forgot this one. Based on environment and choice and practice, everyone weaves between love and fear. Based on environment, choice and practices, everyone weaves between love and fear. Your thoughts are like programs or documents in a computer. That's why I use that example. Your thoughts are actually like documents or programs on a computer. They're there. Truth and lies, they fuel our daily experience to build powerful patterns and ruts that we travel through knowingly or unknowingly. Sometimes we need our patterns interrupted. I had this thought as I was just prepping for this morning. I was thinking, I was like, yeah, like waking up in the morning is like getting in the river, and the river has what? A current, and the current takes you places. And that's not wrong. It's just not the full picture. Remember I said that you are an eternal being? Once you've given your life to Jesus, death doesn't come knocking for you. I mean, you know what I mean. You're living in eternity. You can access it now, and you'll live forever with the Lord. So the picture I got this morning was, I was like, no, we're always in the river, and we're always in a current. When we sleep, who dreams?
Raise your hand if you dream. Now, I'm not saying you remember all of them. I'm saying when you sleep, you dream. Why? Because you are not bound by space or time. That means your spirit doesn't need sleep. It doesn't need sleep. You're having encounters and adventures whether you realize it or not. It doesn't need sleep. Has anybody heard this before? I'm getting the blown eye look right now. Like, but your soul and your body, they rest. But your spirit doesn't need that. Why? Because you're made in the image of God, just like him. Not bound by space or time. So when we make decisions, here's my picture. We never actually get out of the rivers that have currents that we're in. We're always in them. So now you can see why ascending and descending is so important, because sometimes you don't need to be in that river or in that place or in that current. You need to be in him. You need that process interrupted. I could go into the Jewish calendar, which I will not, and talk to you about the feasts and the celebrations of the Lord are designed to interrupt our cycles and our processes to get us into a different place, to get us into oneness with the Lord. Because the Lord knows that about us. Because our body is in time. Our soul is in time and space. And he knows that he's interrupting that and redirecting us in places that we should go. Last part, because we're created triune in nature, just like the Lord, body, soul, spirit, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we get to have connection with him. I want to encourage you. If what I'm sharing with you is new, and it kind of, you're like, you know, good teaching, I don't know if I'm going to keep that one. That's okay. My encouragement for you is, if you have a discipline where you sit down with the Lord, my one encouragement to you is that you would begin to allow the Holy Spirit to expand what it looks like. That in fact, that time that you have with the Lord, it may be religious to you. It may be like, I'm just trying to be diligent. I'm getting the word this morning. I operate better when I get to my 20 minutes in the word and I pray a little bit and whatever. It isn't bound by space or time. What can you experience with the Lord? Shake it up a little. Last time I talked about dating God, date God a little. Do something like that. Get out of the rut. Communion with God, his spirit, our spirit, radically changes the pattern of our natural mind. That was another point that Dr. Carolyn Leaf was talking about, is that how his spirit and our spirit together changes the pattern of our natural mind. What's really interesting is, because she's really like scientist-y and like wanting to study the mind, what's so amazing about it is her growing with the Lord in this has caused her to go from a very conservative view of God and experience with God, and it's literally driven her to, like, God has created this process. My study of the mind shows me that God has created this process for me to commune with him deeply with his spirit. And she is actually moves quite well in charismatic circles because of what her studies have pushed her to in encounters with the Lord. I love that. That's awesome. So confession, new information, removal of old information, wisdom and discernment. I got to tell you this. I'm so sorry. I know this is so good though. So she was talking about tongues. She was talking about tongues. The hot button of tongues. I'm just kidding. She was talking about tongues. And so they've been doing brain imaging with people that speak in tongues, right? So I want to see what's going on. So when the person makes the choice to speak in tongues, the beginning, the frontal lobe, lights up. But then something peculiar happens. Now, I don't remember what the name of this part of the brain is, and I didn't write it down. I probably couldn't spell it if I tried. But as they were looking at the imaging inside the brain, they started seeing this low light or this glow start to increase. And what they've been able to identify through the study of tongues is they began to identify what discernment and wisdom look like activated in the brain. Come on, that's amazing. So when we pray in tongues, again, the decision that we make when we first start, something happens, and there's a usual process that takes place, and then it's as if the Lord just kicks in. Scientists are led to believe to think that's the God gene. That's the God spot. That's the, you know, they're trying to give words for it. They don't know what to call it, right? They're like, it's, yeah, glowy, you know? So this communion, this ascending and descending with the Lord has a profound impact on your life. And I hope in hearing me share some of these things that you're like, you know what? Okay, maybe I need to think about my quiet time with the Lord. If it's, I think I said this last time, and I don't mean to offend. It's not my intention. But if your time with the Lord, if you've stopped your time with the Lord because it doesn't seem like it's fruitful or worth your time, or you're not getting stuff, that's you. That's not him. So heaven is the most exciting place, is the most exciting realm. It's never old and it's always new. So I want to encourage you, if you've set that down, if that's not something that's in your life, I don't need you to wake up like the second you wake up and get in the Word. Date God. Do something different. Listen to music if you're not a music listener. I love getting into worship. What I found out, what I've heard actually from Dr. Carolyn Leaf, is what happens when you get what you use music, the power of music is incredible, is because what happens is it helps you get there faster. So worship, the actual music, helps you get there quicker. It helps instead of trying to like think your way through it, you just all of a sudden you start to just go. How many of you can witness to that when we got into worship, maybe even this morning? When I listen to worship, whatever I had a problem with before, I'm just able to, I can go now. It's like I have a green light. I can go. Do that in your time with the Lord. Okay. Last slide, please. Cool. This is where we're going to wrap this up. I'm going to have you stand up because it's going to make me get this over with faster. So why don't you stand up on your feet? If I can get done at 11:59, I still beat Jeff most often. Hey. Just kidding. Okay, limitations. So here's some limitations as we are accessing the throne room or as we are ascending and descending, some things that can cause you to get stuck. Choices that you're making, okay? Current choices that you're making or environments that you're in. I'm giving you keys because I want you to get your camera out if you need to and grab a picture of that. I'm not going to change this. We'll leave it up after service if you want to snap a picture of it. But choices you're making or environments that you're in, those can be things that actually lead to building neural networks that create fear that we could actually see in your life. Okay? The other one, the other limitations that you may experience in connecting or communing with God are lies. So lies occur when you have prolonged seasons or times of pain. Okay? Some of us have been there. Some of us are there now. Some of us have been there for a long time. Trauma. Instances. Car accidents. Stuff like that. Things that have happened very forcefully, very quickly, and now they're done. but they've left trauma, injuries, right? Sean, when we were praying for you, what did we pray for? We prayed that the trauma would be done and the memory in your even in your muscles that would be finished, right? Because there was trauma that was done to the shoulder, right? Abuse. Abuse is another thing. Some of you did not have the best home environments where you grew up. And there was either verbal abuse or physical abuse or neglect. That's not you. That's not you. Addictions, which this is sort of together, this last one, addictions, habits, and sin cycles. So I want you to think about sin. I say, yes, I use the word sin. Of course, the old gospel, I'm getting you in, I'm just kidding. Sin, they're cycles, you guys. They're patterns that we find ourselves in. One of the things that Dr. Carolyn Leaf mentioned as well is this is the area about our like family where you can inherit things. You inherit things from your family. Can I give you one other little piece of good news before you're like, I have so much stuff from my parents? If any of you are in the place of, I have so much stuff that I inherited from my family, I want to tell you some good news. What science is beginning to find out, you guys, this is ridiculous. So yes, what we think our actions, they actually are being, there's a record, and we're seeing a transference from into up to four generations. Real. No, real. That's real. That's not just something in the Bible and someone threw a number out. We're actually finding out that that's scientifically real, okay? But these genes in the DNA that are transferred up to three or four generations aren't active. They're not active. Did you hear me? Some of you need to just get free because you just heard that. They're not active. You can turn them off. Ascending and descending is really important. We can pull some of the stuff out that doesn't belong there, and we can move out of fear. Okay? Okay, put your hands out. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Like the fact that we could come boldly to the throne is incredible. Our sin doesn't keep us from you. Our actions don't keep us from you. The blood of Jesus was shed so that we have full access to you at all times. Holy Spirit, I pray that our communion, our ascending and descending would be wild and crazy. That it would be a mighty rushing river, an explosion of who you are, of your nature, of your kindness and of your goodness. Father, I pray, we've been praying this over our groups, but I pray that you would have power encounters that begin to dislodge and displace lies and ultimately environments that create fear around you. Whoa. Come on, and right now, I just sense the presence in this place. We thank you. I'm seeing like the bottle cap on the top of a bottle just go. So Lord, I thank you where there's been capping, where there's been covering. We thank you that it is open. We declare, we prophesy, it's open, that the way is open, that the limitations and the obstacles that we faced, that they are open. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Even like when I was in college, we could be doing the wrong thing, but you see our heart. We thank you right now that you see our heart. You judge us by our heart. And we thank you for that. What grace and mercy that is. So Holy Spirit, deliver us from fear. Deliver us from lies. Help us to see. We love you, Jesus. You're amazing. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay. I love you guys. I hope that was beneficial for you. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to hit me up. I'm saying this again as accountability for me to you. There will be a power group of this at one point in time, maybe in the fall, that we can just get together, we can experiment together, we can encounter the Lord together and continue to grow. But step in and encounter heaven now. Love you guys. Have a great weekend.